Paid for by Barbara Arnwine.
Change. Oh my goodness, we have a great show for you today because we're going to talk about how we prepare for the fight ahead. You got it, because nothing is over. Don't be sitting around thinking about, oh, there's nothing to be done now just because the elections are over. Actually, it all starts right now, folks, because it's about our defiance, it's about our actions, our demand that this government function well and that it not be hijacked into some form of fascism. Folks, if you're saying, what does she mean by that word fascism? That means when you have one authoritarian figure trying to run the whole government, the whole country, without it being a democratic process and listening to all the people and what the people want foremost. So, folks, we got a lot to talk about because we're talking about preparing for the fight ahead, Trump's cabinet proposed nominees, the threat of mass deportations, the attacks on the nonprofit sectors, and Biden's final presidential actions, and so much more. Yes, yes, we're going to talk about those races and, sexes and those evil homophobic, texts that have been out there and attacks on people. There's a lot to be talked about. But before I get to this show's guests and everyone, you know I got to bring up the most amazing lawyer in the country, one of the boldest, innovative, creative, and committed, and visionary lawyers. You know who I'm talking about. I'm about the chairman of the board of the Transformative Justice Coalition, none other than Darryl D. Jones, Esquire. Hey, Darryl.
Hey, Barbara. It must be noon. It must be Tuesday. It must be noon Eastern Standard Time, because we're talking igniting change. And Barbara, you're precisely right with regards to your analysis on what has happened this past election. Let's be clear. You know, voting rights took a gut punch this past election. But guess what? It's not out. We're still up. We're still fighting. You take a gut punch, you recover from it, and you get up. And, you know, Barbara, I come from the streets of Glen Burnie, Maryland, right? Somebody kick you in the knee, you slap them in the face. I mean, you go straight at them. So this is where we are right now with the voting rights fight. You know, we don't give up. We don't lay down. We don't say, oh, too bad. Nah. You roll up your sleeves, you put on your boots, and you get to work. And that's what we're prepared to do. And what's going on and what we're seeing with these appointments, Barbara, is going to be part of the focal point of this discussion. What's happening with the immigration issue and the potential deportation issue is stuff that we've got to get ready for. We can't sit back and sulk. We need to roll up our sleeves and get ourselves to work, Barbara.
You know that's right. And we have a great show because we have some of the most amazing guests. You know we don't play when it comes to having good intelligence, where we come in and we have the people who really know what's coming on, what's going on, who are making decisions at high levels about these actions in the future. I can't wait. So, Darryl, you want to start with introducing our guests for me, please?
Oh, sure. Barbara, we're so excited to have with us the leader, if you will, of the African American Black Caucus in the state of Texas. No other than Rep. Ron Reynolds is going to be joining us. We also have with us Barbara, and we're going to bring her up first for her comments. The past president of the National Organization for Women, she's none other than the board member of the Transformative Justice Coalition. She's none other than Terry O'Neill. Terry, welcome back to Igniting Change.
Oh, thank you, Terry. Hey, Barbara. It's good to hear both of your voices.
Well, we are so delighted that you have joined the show. Our other guests will be with us without question. But Terry, I mean, I think everybody's been going, as they keep hearing all these various nominations, quote, you know, potential nominations. People, be clear that until the electors meet, and actually, which won't be until December 11th in the state, to certify the election results. Then on December 17th, there will be the actual Electoral College will meet. And then it's not until the 20th of January, when you have the inauguration, that someone actually becomes president. So everything you're hearing about from Donald J. Trump as a presumptive president-elect, you got to understand that when he says this is going to be my this, this is going to be my that, that doesn't mean anything, because he's got to get inaugurated. He's got to submit every single name. Elon Musk, it doesn't matter whose name. He's got to submit every single name to the Senate to be confirmed before they can be cabinet members. So I just want people to understand the process, right, Terry? Because there's a lot of confusion, and that's because he purposefully wants people to think that he is now the president. He's not yet.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And of course, there's nothing that Donald Trump loves better than media coverage. And, you know, frankly, I don't think the media is doing us a whole lot of favors giving him all the coverage that he craves. But yeah, so that's what he's trying to do. It's partly, I mean, honestly, it's partly let's put on a show and prove to the country that I own the media, and the media will do, you know, they'll just jump to attention whenever I make these pronouncements. And I'll do that by being outrageous. That's the way he operates. But so that's one thing. But the other thing he really is trying to do is shock and awe to the country. Uh-huh. So for example, naming Matt Gaetz to lead the Department of Justice, I view that as a shock and awe move, right? Because Matt Gaetz is himself credibly accused of crime, specifically involving sex with underage women, so statutory rape. That's one of those spectacular things. The media will be all over it and all of that stuff. Another thing is taking a commentator on Fox News that nobody's ever heard of named, I've just blanked on his name, Seb somebody, to be head of to lead the Pentagon, right? A man who served in the military, but has no experience leading any organization anywhere near the size of the Pentagon. And this is a gentleman who on Fox News as a commentator has repeatedly said women don't belong in the military, that he doesn't think that, you know, women should be there at all. So another shock and awe appointment. And one has to wonder whether he's doing that in part so that he can make it easier for other of his appointments, you know, to get through the Senate. And you sort of have this shiny object over here and then get these other appointments in. I mean, we are in for a very, very hard time, a very tough time.
Well, I think it's fascinating, Daryl, and all our guests, that he's picked two people, Matt Gaetz and Hespit, who have these horrible records of sexual harassment and possible, you know, criminal misconduct when it comes to minor women who are minors. This is fascinating that he, you know, doubled down instead of having some kind of, remorse about his own, you know, allegations and convictions, that instead he goes and finds some people from the same cloth. Hey, Karen, Dr. Karen McCrae, when you heard about some of these picks, which ones really struck you as the worst? I mean, we just talked about Hespit, and we should talk more about Matt Gaetz, but what else did you hear?
Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi was the name. That's concerning, because she has the opportunity to be the incubator for all of our intelligence. And I just don't trust her. I never have. And based on her prior dealings with Assad, being a Putin sympathizer, you know, being part of a cult previously as well too, I think there's real concern there. And it's not to take any concern from any of the other folks who are heading secure agencies as well, too. Even the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, I think there's a problem there with her heading Homeland Security and what Homeland Security does and what it's responsible for with respect to travel, border security, and all of that stuff. She's not even allowed on Indian reservations in her home state. I think there's a problem, and part of me thinks that he did it as, you know what, I'm going to create a cabinet of crooks, con artists, and folks of disrepute so that we can continue the dumbing down of standards in the United States so that we can go ahead and pilferage and steal and do anything we want to do anyway. And all of them concern me, but those two in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Daryl, you know, I think people need to understand that the reason why the Gabbard nomination is so important is because it actually threatens every one of us. You know, the mm-hmm. intelligence community depends upon those good relationships among the various intelligence agencies worldwide to share information, to make sure that we're secure and safe. And if they think that someone at the head of the U.S. Intelligence is not safe, they're not going to share it. We won't know. We won't be able to protect ourselves. We won't be able to protect our citizens. We won't be able to know in advance if there's another 9/11 type plot. We won't know because nobody will trust us. And that's why her nomination is so telling. But let's talk about this Matt Gaetz nomination also. This, you know, let me, and I should be very clear, people, proposed will possible nomination in the future, because right now he's just talking and sharing, you know, ideas, but none of this is official. Go ahead, Daryl, what should we know about Matt Gaetz?
Well, you know, Barbara, when you're talking about Representative Matt Gaetz out of Florida, you're talking about the person who's been under investigation by the House Ethics Commission for not only financial crimes and some crimes that he had allegedly committed while he was in office as a member of Congress, but also with the whole pedophilia type of thing where he had underage girls and things like that that he's being investigated for and was to be investigated by the FBI, and that now has been thwarted. The interesting part also with Matt Gaetz is that, you know, this past Friday, the House Ethics Commission was set to release their investigation, their report of what their findings were from their, their long investigation of Matt Gaetz. They've now postponed that. They don't know when they're going to release it now. So all of these things are that we need to know about Matt Gaetz. We know that obviously he's an attorney, but he's going to be heading up all of the federal attorneys, all the attorney generals for this in the country. And so, you know, it becomes a question with regards to what is the character, what is the credibility of the attorney general that he holds. We know that he's a loyalist to President-elect Trump, that when Gaetz was going through his difficulty, President-elect was, you know, had his back. And when President-elect was going through his difficulty, Matt Gaetz had his back. You know, this is clearly one of those steps of loyalty. It's a loyalty test that they put in place, but it certainly endangers, the credibility of the attorney general's office throughout our country. And, you know, Karen and Terry, I don't know, you know, if you have a perspective on that, but I see the whole Matt Gaetz piece as being, you know, highly, Terry, problematic. Particularly if you're going to have someone who's the Attorney General of the United States who should be leading a division of prosecutors that should be prosecuting child sex trafficking cases that he himself has been accused of, and now they're covering up the report and refusing to release it, Terry.
Right, exactly. I mean, he is an operative, no doubt about it. The thing I think that we should all be very concerned about is his desire for vengeance. You know, this is an individual. Trump has made no secret of the fact that he intends to seek retribution against his perceived political enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just digress for one moment. In a fascist dictatorship, the people in power don't have opponents. They have enemies. and they label someone as an enemy. And if you have an enemy, then you're going to take retribution against them. I think Matt Gaetz is exactly in that mold. And so he is, I think we can absolutely, we must absolutely prepare for him to be weaponizing the Department of Justice to seek political retribution. So,